1-252-526-320-326-293-013-210-426-10-326-1-830-426-10. 3718316061802132209033051822042610-1308. 301612173160408312131304320032 5252633267931312104261038313
Where's that coming from? Ted said. The surface? Barnes shook his head. We've cut direct contact with the surface.
Then is it being transmitted underwater in some way?
No, Dina said. It's too fast for underwater transmission.
Is there another console in the habitat?
No.
How about DH-7?
DH-7's empty now. The divers have gone.
Then where'd it come from?
Barnes said, it looks random to me.
Tina nodded.
It may be a discharge from a temporary buffer memory somewhere in the system. When we switched over to internal diesel power.
That's probably it, Barnes said. Buffer discharge on switchover.
I think you should keep it, Ted said, staring at the screen. Just in case it's a message.
A message from where?
From the sphere.
Hell,
Barnes said. It can't be a message.
How do you know?
Because there's no way a message can be transmitted. We're not hooked up to anything. Certainly not to the sphere. It's got to be a memory dump from somewhere inside our own computer system.
How much memory have you got?
Fair amount, 10 gig or something like that.
Maybe the helium's getting to the chips, Tina said. Maybe it's a saturation effect.
I still think you should keep it, Ted said. Norman had been looking at the screen. He was no mathematician, but he'd looked at a lot of statistics in his life, searching for patterns in the data. That was something human brains were inherently good at, finding patterns in visual material. Norman couldn't put his finger on it, but he sensed a pattern here. He said, I have the feeling it's not random.
Then let's keep it, Barnes said.
Tina went forward to the console. As her hands touched the keys, the screen went blank.
So much for that. Barnes said. It's gone. Too bad we didn't have Harry to look at it with us.
Yeah, Ted said gloomily. Too bad.
Analysis.
Take a look at this, Beth said. This one is still alive.
Norman was with her in the little biological laboratory near the top of D Cylinder. Nobody had been in this laboratory since their arrival because they hadn't found anything living. Now with the lights out, he and Beth watched the squid move in the glass tank. The creature had a delicate appearance. The blue glow was concentrated in stripes along the back and sides of the creature.
Yes, Beth said.
The bioluminescent structures seem to be located dorsally. They're bacteria, of course.
What are?
The bioluminescent areas. Squid can't create light themselves. The creatures that do are bacteria. So the bioluminescent animals in the sea have incorporated these bacteria into their bodies. You're seeing bacteria glowing through the skin.
So it's like an infection?
Yes, in a way. The large eyes of the squid stared. The tentacles moved. And you can see all the internal organs, Beth said. The brain is hidden behind the eye. That sac is the digestive gland, and behind it the stomach, and below that, see a beating, the heart. That big thing at the front is the gonad. And coming down from the stomach, a sort of funnel, that's where it squirts the ink and propels itself.
Is it really a new species? Norman said.
She sighed.
I don't know.
Internally, it is so typical, but fewer tentacles would qualify it as a new species, all right.
You're going to get to call it Squidus bethus?
Norman said. She smiled.
Architeuthis bethus, she said.
Sounds like a dental problem. Architeuthis bethus means you need root canal.
How about it, Dr. Halpern? Levy said, poking her head in.
Got some good tomatoes and peppers. Be ashamed to waste them.
Are the squid really poisonous?
I doubt it, Beth said.
Squid aren't known to be.
Go ahead, she said to Levy.
I think it'll be okay to eat them.
When Levy had gone, Norman said,
I thought you gave up eating these things.
Just octopi, Beth said.
An octopus is cute and smart. Squid are rather unsympathetic.
Unsympathetic.
Well, they're cannibalistic and rather nasty.
She raised an eyebrow. Are you psychoanalyzing me again?
No, just curious.
As a zoologist, you're supposed to be objective, Beth said. But I have feelings about animals like anybody else. I have a warm feeling about octopi. They're clever, you know. I once had an octopus in a research tank that learned to kill cockroaches and use them as bait to catch crabs. The curious crab would come along, investigate the dead cockroach, and then the octopus would jump out of its hiding place and catch the crab. In fact, an octopus is so smart that the biggest limitation to its behavior is its lifespan. An octopus lives only 3 years, and that's not long enough to develop anything as complicated as a culture or civilization. Maybe if octopi lived as long as we do, they would long ago have taken over the world. But squid are completely different. I have no feelings about squid. Except I don't really like them.
He smiled.
Well, he said, at least you finally found some life down here.
You know what's funny, she said. Remember how barren it was out there? Nothing on the bottom?
Sure, very striking.
Well, I went around the side of the habitat to get these squid. And there are all sorts of sea fans on the bottom. Beautiful colors, blues and purples and yellows, some of them quite large.
Think they just grew?
No, they must always have been in that spot, but we never went over there. I'll have to investigate it later. I'd like to know why they are localized in that particular place next to the habitat.
Norman went to the porthole. He had switched on the exterior habitat lights, shining onto the bottom. He could indeed see many large sea fans, purple and pink and blue, waving gently on the current. They extended out to the edge of the light, to the darkness.
In a way, Beth said, it's reassuring. We're deep for the majority of oceanic life, which is found in the first 100 feet of water. But even so, this habitat is located in the most varied and abundant marine environment in the world.
Scientists had made species counts and had determined that the South Pacific had more species of coral and sponges than anywhere else on Earth.
So I'm glad we're finally finding things, she said.
She looked at her benches of chemicals and reagents.
And I'm glad to finally get to work on something.
Harry was eating bacon and eggs in the galley. The others stood around and watched him, relieved that he was all right. And they told him the news. He listened with interest until they mentioned that there had been a large school of squid.
Squid?
He looked up sharply and almost dropped his fork.
Yeah, lots of them,
Levy said.
I'm cooking up a bunch for dinner.
Are they still here? Harry asked.
No, they're gone now.
He relaxed, shoulders dropping.
Something the matter, Harry? Norman said.
I hate squid, Harry said. I can't stand them.
I don't care for the taste myself, Ted said.
Terrible, Harry said, nodding.
He resumed eating his eggs. The tension passed.
Then Tina shouted from D cylinder,
I'm getting them again. I'm getting the numbers again.
00032125252632, 032629, 301321, 04261037, 18-3016, 06180, 82132, 29033005, 1822, 04261013, 08301621371, 1604, 08301621. 21822 03301313043200032125252632 032629 301321 04261037 18-3016 06180821322 29033005 1822 04261013 08301621371604
0830-1621, 1822, 0330-1313-0432, 0003212525262, 5263 2, 0326 29, 301321, 0426 1037, 1830-16, 0618-082132, 290-33005, 1822, 0426 1013, 0830162137, 1604, 0830-1621, 1822, 0330-1313-0432, 0003212525263 2, 0326 29, 301321, 0426 1037, 1830-16, 0618-082132, 290330005, 1822, 0426 1013, 0830162137, 1604, 0830162118, 1822, 0330131304 32, 0003212525263 2, 0326 29, 301321, 0426 1037, 1830116, 0618082132, 290330005, 1822, 0426 1013, 0830162137, 1604, 0830162118, 1822, 0330131304 32, 0003212525263 2, 0326 29, 301321, 0426 1037, 1830116, 0618082132, 290330005, 1822, 0426 1013, 0830162137, 1604, 0830162118, 1822, 0330131304 32, 0003212525263 2, 0326 29, 301321.
What do you think, Harry? Barnes said, pointing to the screen. Is this what you got before? Harry said.
Looks like it, except the spacing is different.
Because this is definitely non-random, Harry said. It's a single sequence repeated over and over. Look, starts here, goes to here, then repeats.
0003 21, 2525263 2, 0326 29, 301321, 0426 1037, 1 8, 3016, 0618082132, 290330005, 1822, 0426 1013. 0830162137, 1604, 0830161, 1822, 0330131304 32.
Repeat.
0032125252632, 0032629, 301321, 0426 1037, 1 8, 3016, 0618082132. 290330005, 1822, 0426 1013, 0830162137, 1604, 0830162118, 1822, 0330131304 32.
Repeat.
0003212525263 2, 0326 29, 301321, 0426 1037, 1 8. 3016, 0618082132, 290330005, 1822, 0426 1013, 0830162137, 1604, 0830161, 1822, 0330131304 32.
Repeat.
0003212525263 2, 0326 29. 301321, 0426 1037, 1 8, 3016, 0618082132, 2903300005, 1-822-442-6103, 0830162137, 1604, 0830162 1, 1-822, 0330131304 32. Repeat, 0003212525263 2, 0326293013211, 0426103711, 1-8-3016-0618082132, 2903300005, 1-822-0426103, 0830162137, 1604, 0830162 1, 1-822, 0330131304 32. Repeat, 0003212525263 2, 0326293, 301321, 0426103711, 1-8-3016, 0618082132, 2903300005, 1-822, 0426103, 0830162137, 1604, 0830162 1, 1-822, 0330131304 32. Repeat, 0003212525632, 0326293, 301321.
He's right, Tina said. Fantastic, Barnes said. Absolutely incredible for you to see it like that.
Ted drummed his fingers on the console impatiently.
Elementary, my dear Barnes, Harry said. That part is easy. The hard part is, what does it mean? Surely it's a message, Ted said.
Possibly it's a message, Harry said. It could also be some kind of discharge from within the computer, the result of a programming error or a hardware glitch. We might spend hours translating it, only find it says copyright Acme Computer System, Silicon Valley, or something similar.
Well, Ted said,
the greatest likelihood is that this series of numbers originates from within the computer itself, Harry said. But let me give it a try. Tina printed out the screen for him.
I'd like to try, too, Ted said quickly.
Tina said, certainly, Dr. Fielding, and printed out a second sheet.
If it's a message, Harry said, it's most likely a simple substitution code, like an ASCII code. It would help if we could run a decoding program on the computer. Can anybody program this thing?
They all shook their heads.
Can you? Barnes said.
No. And I suppose there's no way to transmit this to the surface?
The NSA code-breaking computers in Washington would take about 15 seconds to do this. Barnes shook his head. No contact. I wouldn't even put up a radio wire on a balloon. The last report, they have 40-foot waves on the surface. Snap the wire right away.
So we're isolated?
We're isolated.
I guess it's back to the old pencil and paper. I always say traditional tools are best, particularly when there's nothing else. And left the room.
He seems to be in a good mood, Barnes said.
I'd say a very good mood, Norman said. Maybe a little too good, Ted said. A little manic?
No, Norman said. Just a good mood.
I thought he was a little high, Ted said.
Let him stay that way, Barnes snorted, if it helps him to crack this code.
I'm going to try too, Ted reminded him.
That's fine, Barnes said. You try too.
Ted,
I'm telling you, this reliance on Harry is misplaced. Ted paced back and forth and glanced at Norman. Harry is manic and he's overlooking things, obvious things.
Like what?
Like the fact that the printout can't possibly be a discharge from the computer.
How do you know? Norman said.
The processor, Ted said. The processor is a 68090 chip, which means that any memory dump would be in hex.
What's hex?
There are lots of ways to represent numbers, Ted said. The 68090 chip uses base 16 representation called hexadecimal. Hex is entirely different from regular decimal. Looks different.
But the message used 0 through 9, Norman said.
Exactly my point, Ted said. So it didn't come from the computer. I believe it's definitely a message from the sphere.
Furthermore, although Harry thinks it is a substitution code, I think it's a direct visual representation.
You mean a picture?
Yes, Ted said. And I think it's a picture of the creature itself.
He started searching through sheets of paper.
I started with this. Now, here I have translated the message to binary, Ted said. You can immediately sense visual pattern, can't you?
Not really, Norman said.
Well, it is certainly suggestive, Ted said.
I'm telling you, all those years at JPL looking at images from the planets, I have an eye for these things.
So the next thing I did was go back to the original message and fill in the spaces. I got this.
Uh-huh, Norman said.
I agree, it doesn't look like anything, Ted said.
But by changing the screen width, you get this.
Proudly, he held up the next sheet.
Yes, Norman said.
Don't tell me you don't see the pattern, Ted said.
I don't see the pattern, Norman said.
Squint at it,
Ted said. Norman squinted.
Sorry. But it is obviously a picture of the creature, Ted said. Look, that's the vertical torso, three legs, two arms. There's no head, so presumably the creature's head is located within the torso itself. Surely you see that, Norman.
Ted.
For once, Harry has missed the point entirely. The message is not only a picture, it's a self-portrait.
Ted. Ted sat back. He sighed.
You're going to tell me I'm trying too hard.
I don't want to dampen your enthusiasm, Norman said.
But you don't see the alien?
Not really, no.
Hell.
Ted tossed the papers aside.
I hate that son of a bitch. He's so arrogant, he makes me so mad. And on top of that, he's young.
You're 40, Norman said. I wouldn't exactly call that over the hill.
For physics it is, Ted said. Biologists can sometimes do important work late in life. Darwin was 50 when he published The Origin of Species. And chemists sometimes do good work when they're older. But in physics, if you haven't done it by 35, the chances are you never will.
But Ted, you're respected in your field. Ted shook his head. I've never done fundamental work. I've analyzed data, I've come to some interesting conclusions, but never anything fundamental.
This expedition is my chance to really do something, to really get my name in the books.
Norman now had a different sense of Ted's enthusiasm and energy, that relentlessly juvenile manner. Ted wasn't emotionally retarded, he was driven, and he clung to his youth out of a sense that time was slipping by and he hadn't yet accomplished anything. It wasn't obnoxious, it was sad.
Well, Norman said, the expedition isn't finished yet.
No. Ted said, suddenly brightening. You're right. You're absolutely right. There are more wonderful experiences awaiting us. I just know there are.
And they'll come, won't they?
Yes, Ted, Norman said. They'll come. Beth.
Damn it, nothing works.
She waved a hand to her laboratory bench. Not a single one of the chemicals or reagents here is worth a damn.
What have you tried? Barnes said calmly.
Zinc or formalin, H&E, the other stains. Proteolytic extractions, enzyme breaks. You name it. None of it works.
You know what I think? I think that whoever stocked this lab did it with outdated ingredients.
No, Barnes said. It's the atmosphere. He explained that their environment contained only 2% oxygen, 1% carbon dioxide, but no nitrogen at all.
Chemical reactions are unpredictable, he said. You ought to take a look at Levy's recipe book sometime. It's like nothing you've ever seen in your life. The food looks normal when she's finished, but she sure doesn't make it the normal way.
And the lab?
The lab was stocked without knowing the working depth we would be. If we were shallower, we'd be breathing compressed air and all your chemical reactions would work. They'd just go very fast. But with Heliox, reactions are unpredictable. And if they won't go, well...
He shrugged.
What am I supposed to do?
She said.
The best you can, Barnes said. Same as the rest of us.
Well, all I can really do is gross anatomical analyses. All this bench is worthless.
Then do the gross anatomy.
I just wish we had more lab capability.
This is it, Barnes said. Accept it and go on.
Ted entered the room. You better take a look outside, everybody, he said, pointing to the portholes. We have more visitors. The squid were gone. For a moment, Norman saw nothing but the water and the white suspended sediment caught in the lights. Look down at the bottom. The sea floor was alive, literally alive, crawling and wiggling and tremulous as far as they could see in the lights.
What is that?
Beth said,
It's shrimps, a hell of a lot of shrimps.
And she ran to get her net. Now that's what we ought to be eating, Ted said. I love shrimp. And those look perfect size, a little smaller than crayfish. Probably delicious. I remember once in Portugal, my second wife and I had the most fabulous crayfish.
Norman felt slightly uneasy.
What are they doing here?
I don't know. What do shrimps do, anyway? Do they migrate?
Damned if I know, Barnes said. I always buy them frozen. My wife hates to peel them.
Norman remained uneasy, though he could not say why. He could clearly see now that the bottom was covered in shrimps. They were everywhere. Why should it bother him? Norman moved away from the window, hoping his sense of vague uneasiness would go away if he looked at something else. But it didn't go away. It just stayed there, a small, tense knot in the pit of his stomach. He didn't like the feeling at all.
Harry.
Harry.
Oh, hi, Norman. I heard the excitement. A lot of shrimps outside. Is that it?
Harry sat on his bunk, with the paper print out of numbers on his knees. He had a pencil and pad, and the page was covered with calculations, scratch-outs, symbols, arrows.
Harry,
Norman said, what's going on?
Damned if I know.
I'm just wondering why we should suddenly be finding life down here, the squid, the shrimps, when before there was nothing,
ever.
Oh, that. I think that's pretty clear.
Yes?
Sure. What's different between then and now?
You've been inside the sphere.
No. I mean, what's different in the outside environment?
Norman frowned. He didn't grasp what Harry was driving at.
Well, just look outside, Harry said.
What could you see before that you can't see now?
The grid.
The grid and the divers. A lot of activity and a lot of electricity.
I think it's scared off the normal fauna of the area. This is the South Pacific, you know. It ought to be teeming with life.
And now that the divers are gone, the animals are back?
That's my guess.
That's all there is to it? Norman said, frowning.
Why are you asking me?
Harry said.
Ask Beth. She'll give you a definitive answer. But I know animals are sensitive to all kinds of stimuli we don't notice. You can't run God knows how many million volts through underwater cables to light a half-mile grid in an environment that has never seen light before and not expect to have an effect.
Something about this argument tickled the back of Norman's mind. He knew something, something pertinent, but he couldn't get it.
Harry.
Yes, Norman. You look a little worried.
You know, this substitution code is really a bitch. I tell you the truth, I'm not sure I'll be able to crack it. You see, the problem is, if it is a letter substitution, you will need 2 digits to describe a single letter because there are 26 letters in the alphabet, assuming no punctuation, which may or may not be included here as well. So when I see a 2 next to a 3, I don't know if it is letter 2 followed by letter 3 or just letter 23. It's taking a long time to work through the permutations, you see what I mean?
Harry...
Yes, Norman.
What happened inside the sphere?
Is that what you're worried about? Harry asked.
What makes you think I'm worried about anything? Norman asked.
Your face, Harry said. That's what makes me think you're worried.
Maybe I am, Norman said. But about this sphere?
You know, I've been thinking a lot about that sphere.
And...
It's quite amazing. I really don't remember what happened.
Harry,
I feel fine. I feel better all the time. Honest to God, my energy's back, headache's gone. And earlier, I remembered everything about that sphere and what was inside it. But every minute that passes, it seems to fade, you know, the way a dream fades?
You remember it when you wake up, but an hour later it's gone?
Harry, I remember that it was wonderful and beautiful. Something about lights, swirling lights. But that's all. How did you get the door to open?
Oh, that. It was very clear at the time. I remember I had worked it all out. I knew exactly what to do.
What did you do?
I'm sure it will come back to me.
You don't remember how you opened the door?
No. I just remember this sudden insight, this certainty about how it was done. But I can't remember the details. Why, does somebody else want to go in? Ted, probably.
I'm sure Ted would like to go in.
I don't know if that's a good idea. Frankly, I don't think Ted should do it. Think how boring he'll be with his speeches after he comes out. I visited an alien sphere by Ted Fielding. We'd never hear the end of it.
And he giggled. Ted is right, Norman thought. He's definitely manic. There was a speedy, overly cheerful quality to Harry. His characteristic slow sarcasm was gone, replaced by a sunny, open, very quick manner, and a kind of laughing indifference to everything, an imbalance in his sense of what was important. He had said he couldn't crack the code. He had said he couldn't remember what happened inside the sphere, or how he had opened it. And he didn't seem to think it mattered. Harry, when you first came out of the sphere, you seemed worried.
Did I?
Had a brutal headache, I remember that. You kept saying we should go to the surface.
Did I?
Yes, why was that?
God only knows, I was so confused.
You also said it was dangerous for us to stay here. Harry smiled. Norman, you can't take that too seriously. I didn't know if I was coming or going. Harry, we need you to remember these things. If things start to come back to you, will you tell me?
Oh, sure, Norman. Absolutely. You can count on me. I'll tell you right away.
The laboratory.
No, Beth said. None of it makes sense. First of all, in areas where fish haven't encountered human beings before, they tend to ignore humans unless they are hunted. The Navy divers didn't hunt the fish. Second, if the divers stirred up the bottom, that'd actually release nutrients and attract more animals. Third, many species of animals are attracted to electrical currents, so if anything, the shrimps and other animals should have been drawn here earlier by the electricity. Not now, with the power off.
She was examining the shrimps under the low-power scanning microscope.
How does he seem?
Harry?
Yes.
I don't know.
Is he okay?
I don't know. I think so. Still looking through the microscope lens, she said, Did he tell you anything about what happened inside the sphere?
Not yet.
She adjusted the microscope, shook her head.
I'll be damned.
What is it? Norman said.
Extra dorsal plating.
Meaning?
It's another new species, she said.
Norman said, Shrimpus, Bethus? You're making discoveries hand over fist down here, Beth.
Uh-huh. I checked the sea fans, too, because they seem to have an unusual radial growth pattern. They're a new species as well.
That's great, Beth. She turned, looked at him.
No, not great. Weird.
She clicked on a high-intensity light, cut open one of the shrimps with a scalpel.
I thought so.
What is it?
Norman, she said, we didn't see any life down here for days, and suddenly in the last few hours we find 3 new species? It's not normal.
We don't know what's normal at 1,000 feet.
I'm telling you, it's not normal.
But Beth, you said yourself that we simply hadn't noticed the sea fans before. And the squid, and the shrimps, can't they be migrating, passing through this area, something like that? Barnes says they've never had trained scientists living this deep at one site on the ocean floor before. Maybe these migrations are normal, and we just don't know they occur.
I don't think so, Beth said.
When I went out to get these shrimps, I felt their behavior was atypical.
For one thing, they were too close together. Shrimps on the bottom maintain a characteristic distance from one another, about 4 feet. These were packed close. In addition, they moved as if they were feeding, but there's nothing to feed on down here. Nothing that we know of. Well, these shrimps can't have been feeding. She pointed to the cut animal on the lab bench. They haven't got a stomach. Are you kidding? Look for yourself. Norman looked, but the dissected shrimp didn't mean much to him. It was just a mass of pink flesh. It was cut on a ragged diagonal, not cleanly. She's tired, he thought. She's not working efficiently. We need sleep. We need to get out of here. The external appearance is perfect, except for an extra dorsal fan at the tail, she said. But internal, it's all screwed up. There's no way for these animals to be alive. No stomach. No reproductive apparatus. This animal is like a bad imitation of a shrimp. Yet the shrimps are alive, Norman said. Yeah, she said. They are. She seemed unhappy about it. And the squid were perfectly normal inside. Actually, they weren't. When I dissected one, I found that it lacked several important structures. There's a nerve bundle called the stellate ganglion that wasn't there. Well? And there were no gills, Norman. Squid possess a long gill structure for gas exchange. This one didn't have one. The squid had no way to breathe, Norman. It must have had a way to breathe. I'm telling you, it didn't. We're seeing impossible animals down here. All of a sudden. Impossible animals. She turned away from the high-intensity lamp, and he saw that she was close to tears. Her hands were shaking. She quickly dropped them into her lap. You're really worried, he said. Aren't you? She searched his face. Norman, she said. All this started when Harry came out of the sphere, didn't it? I guess it did. Harry came out of the sphere, and now we have impossible sea life. I don't like it. I wish we could get out of here. I really do. Her lower lip was trembling. He gave her a hug and said gently, We can't get out of here. I know, she said. She hugged him back and began to cry, pushing her face into his shoulder. It's all right. I hate it when I get this way, she said. I hate this feeling. I know. And I hate this place. I hate everything about it. I hate Barnes, and I hate Ted's lectures, and I hate Levy's stupid desserts. I wish I wasn't here. I know. She sniffled for a moment, then abruptly pushed him away with her strong arms. She turned away, wiped her eyes. I'm all right, she said. Thanks. Sure, he said. She remained, turned away, her back to him. Where's the damn Kleenex? She found one, blew her nose. You won't say anything to the others? Of course not. A bell rang, startling her. Jesus, what's that? I think it's dinner, Norman said. Dinner. I don't know how you can eat those things, Harry said, pointing to the squid. They're delicious, Norman said. Sautéed squid. As soon as he had sat at the table, he became aware how hungry he was, and eating made him feel better. There was a reassuring normalcy about sitting at a table with a knife and fork in his hands. It was almost possible to forget where he was. I especially like them fried, Tina said. Fried calamari, Barnes said. Wonderful, my favorite. I like them fried, too, Edmonds, the archivist, said. She sat primly, very erect, eating her food precisely. Norman noticed that she put her knife down between bites. Why aren't these fried? Norman said. We can't deep fry down here, Barnes said. The hot oil forms a suspension and gums up the air filters, but sautéed is fine. Well, I don't know about the squid, but the shrimps are great, Ted said. Aren't they, Harry? Ted and Harry were eating shrimp. Great shrimp, Harry said. Delicious. You know how I feel, Ted said. I feel like Captain Nemo. Remember living underwater off the bounty of the sea?
20,000 leagues under the sea, Barnes said.
James Mason, Ted said. Remember how he played the organ? Na 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 na.
Meyer, Bach, Toccata and Fugue in D minor.
And Kirk Douglas.
Kirk Douglas was great.
Remember when he fought the giant squid?
That was great.
Kirk Douglas had an axe, remember?
Yeah, and he cut off one of the squid arms.
That movie, Harry said, scared the hell out of me. I saw it when I was a kid, and it scared the hell out of me.
I didn't think it was scary, Ted said.
You were older, Harry said.
Not that much older.
Yes, you were. For a kid, it was terrifying. That's probably why I don't like squid now.
You don't like squid, Ted said, because they're rubbery and disgusting.
Barnes said, that was the movie that made me want to join the Navy.
I can imagine, Ted said. So romantic and exciting.
And a real vision of the wonders of applied science.
Who played the professor in that?
The professor?
Yes, remember there was a professor?
I vaguely remember a professor, old guy.
Norman, you remember who was the professor?
No, I don't, Norman said.
Ted said, are you sitting over there keeping an eye on us, Norman?
How do you mean, Norman said.
Analyzing us, seeing if we're cracking up.
Yes, Norman said, smiling.
I am.
How are we doing? Ted said.
I would say it is highly significant that a group of scientists can't remember who played the scientist in a movie they all love.
Well, Kirk Douglas was the hero, that's why.
The scientist wasn't the hero. Branshaw Tone, Burns said. Claude Rains.
No, I don't think so. Fritz, somebody.
Fritz Weaver.
They heard a crackle and hiss, and then the sounds of an organ playing the Toccata and Fugue in D minor.
Great, Ted said. I didn't know we had music down here.
Edmonds returned to the table.
There's a tape library, Ted.
I don't know if this is right for dinner, Barnes said.
I like it,
Ted said.
Now, if we only had seaweed salad, isn't that what Captain Nemo served?
Maybe something lighter, Barnes said.
Lighter than seaweed?
Lighter than bark.
What was the submarine called? Ted said.
The Nautilus, Edmund said.
Oh, right, Nautilus.
It was the name of the first atomic submarine, too, launched in 1954, she said, and she gave Ted a bright smile.
True, Ted said, true.
Norman thought, he's met his match in irrelevant trivia. Edmonds went to the porthole and said, oh, more visitors.
What now?
Harry said, looking up quickly.
Frightened, Norman thought.
No, just quick,
manic,
interested.
They're beautiful,
Edmonds was saying.
Some kind of little jellyfish all around the habitat. We should really film them. What do you think, Dr. Fielding? Should we go film them?
I think I'll just eat now, Jane, Ted said a bit severely.
Edmonds looked stricken, rejected.
Norman thought, I'll have to watch that. She turned to leave. The others glanced toward the porthole, but nobody left the table.
Have you ever eaten jellyfish?
Ted said. I hear they're a delicacy.
Some of them are poisonous, Beth said. Toxins in the tentacles.
Don't the Chinese eat jellyfish?
Harry said.
Yes,
Tina said. They make a soup, too. My grandmother used to make it in Honolulu.
You're from Honolulu?
Mozart would be better for dining, Brian said. Or Beethoven, something with strings. This organ music is gloomy.
Dramatic,
Ted said, playing imaginary keys in the air in time to the music, swaying his body like James Mason.
Gloomy, Barnes said.
The intercom crackled.
Oh, you should see this, Edmund said over the intercom. It's beautiful.
Where is she? She must be outside,
Barnes said. He went to the porthole.
It's like pink snow, Edmund said.
They all got up and went to the portholes. Edmunds was outside with the video camera. They could hardly see her through the dense clouds of jellyfish. The jellyfish were small, the size of a thimble, and a delicate glowing pink. It was indeed like a snowfall. Some of the jellyfish came quite close to the porthole. They could see them well.
They have no tentacles, Harry said. They're just little pulsating sacs.
That's how they move, Beth said. Muscular contractions expel the water.
Like squid, Ted said.
Not as developed, but the general idea.
They're sticky, Edmund said over the intercom. They're sticking to my suit.
That pink color is fantastic,
Ted said.
Like snow in the sunset.
Very poetic.
I thought so.
You would.
They're sticking to my faceplate, too,
Edmund said.
I have to pull them off. They leave a smeary streak.
She broke off abruptly, but they could still hear her breathing.
Can you see her?
Ted said.
Not very well. She's...